This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. Awareness and demand for sanitization, antibacterial and antiviral products naturally saw a massive boom due to the pandemic. Today I have Xia Ban Ian, founder and CEO of Excelsior Technologies, to discuss their disinfectant brand, BactaClean, and how they've seen massive shifts pre and post pandemic.
Hi, my name is Xia Ban Ian, but just refer to me as Ian. My company was formed in 2008 to meet a problem that we noticed in the car air conditioning system. It's a pretty common problem that many people omitted, but we realized that there was a need for the solution to address a big problem that people take for granted. Many people actually have allergies, have problems related to air quality, and that's how we got started in 2008. From there, we expanded our business to add more products to cover various types of disinfection, but without straying away from our main core, which is actually the disinfection for ventilation systems and air conditioning systems. Over the years, we went around to promote to other countries apart from Malaysia, as it is because adoption in Malaysia was relatively slow in the early days. People in Malaysia are always very reactive. You know, they're not so preactive when it comes to hygiene. So we shifted our focus to our neighboring countries in Asia. And we started to gain traction in countries like the Philippines, Indonesia, and Japan, China. From there, we took steps further to promote through trade shows and exhibitions around the world, covering America and Europe and Middle East. From there, we grew to distribute to over 30 countries by 2018. Came 2019, we expanded to another 10 countries, a total of about 40-odd countries before the pandemic. Coming to COVID-19, that's when we had a big surge in business, and that allowed us to grow to even more countries. Now we are selling to 50 countries around the world. We were right in the middle of the COVID fight back in February 2020, when the pandemic was at its peak in China. My distributors over there did a great job using our products to help fight COVID-19 there. Subsequently, the virus spread around the world, so did our business, which grew 700% during that period of time. And demand was much greater than what we could have expected. Saying that, I mean, we are not resting on our laurels. We are happy that it's gone up, but we are still looking for ways to further improve ourselves and trying to cover a greater market around the world. We have added many new products over the years, in which all of it has a specific targeted function to create protection and also to solve problems related to hygiene for everyone in various industries.
Right. Okay. Let's start from the beginning first with BactaClean. What exactly is BactaClean? How does it work?
Okay. Right from the beginning, the reason was to help treat problems within the air conditioning system. Back in 2008, before we officially started, I used to drive my daughter. She was, at that time, she was a toddler, to my grandmother's place. And every time we got in the car, she used to sneeze and cough and get teary-eyed. And I was very curious, what is the problem? It seems to come every time she gets in the car. She's okay at home. She's okay at the grandmother's house. So I talked to a few friends who are chemists, and they said, probably air conditioning. So we went in to take a look and study the mechanics and how the air conditioning system works, and realized that it traps a lot of bacteria and grows a lot of fungus and within the air conditioning system due to the condensation. So he helped me create a solution in which we can use to disinfect. And we tried it over a period of time, and it worked very, very well. The problem actually went away. And we thought that, okay, this could be a possible business. And since that people really omitted this part as a way of maintenance for the vehicle, so we said, okay, let's try this. And we started to grow step by step through the automotive industry and slowly expanded out to even buildings. As you may have heard, something called the sick building syndrome, which is actually very common in temperate countries where we use air conditioning systems. So when you switch it off, the condensation forms within the air conditioning system, and that's when bacteria and fungus grow. So we went to many countries like Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, even the Middle East, where air conditioning is very heavily used, realized everybody has the same problem. So by having this solution, it solved the problem for many, many people. And of course, car manufacturers also realized that this is something that is very useful and started to offer the service at the service center level. And that's how we started to grow regionally before we went global with it.
Right. And, you know, how long was your R&D process for this? Because for something that contributes to helping to improve cleanliness, people's health, you know, I must imagine that the testing process took quite a while.
The initial product development took about 3 to 6 months. Then after that, the testing took another several months because we had to send it to labs to get it, you know, verified that it's able to destroy or kill the pathogens and the germs and the bacteria. After that, we also looked into the safety aspect of it. It's not just about it being able to kill bacteria and viruses and fungus. There's always the risk, you know, if you don't develop something that's safe, you're going to have problems as well. So we looked down that road, how can we make it safe and make sure it actually is very effective at the same time. So the whole process was faster than we expected because there were a lot of formulas available. It's just that we had to make sure that it served our purpose.
Right.
And of course, it had to be affordable. I mean, there's no point if you sell it very expensive and no one can afford it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've now also expanded to a multitude of products, you know, around the IsoClean brand as well. You know, you've got antiviral gloves, humidifiers, you know, odor killers, et cetera, et cetera. How do these solutions, how do these products differ from other antibacterial, antiviral products on the market?
Okay. Our business revolves around, of course, disinfection. But the second most critical part is actually the safety of the products. I mean, efficacy is one. Second part is safety. And also, it has to be able to perform as how we claim it to be. I mean, we don't inflate or even make exaggerated claims. The claims are as is, where it's what you see is what you get. We don't believe in, you know, exaggerating claims that cannot be substantiated.
Right.
Everything we sell, it's already been tested and we have the reports available. Many of our competitors, they claim a lot of things, but they may not necessarily have the report. So we stand by that. We want to make sure that, you know, when we sell something, it has proof and it's credible. And when it comes to the safety part of it, we also spend money doing allergy tests on skin and all that so that people know that, oh, if you happen to touch it, you're not going to develop a rash or you're not likely to have some kind of other problems.
Right.
We also have product liability insurance. We're one of the very few in the world who actually have full coverage for all our products. So people can use our products, you know, with peace of mind without worrying that something's going to happen. Or, you know, if anything does happen, you know, there's somebody to back it up. So we have done enough research to ensure that this is not, something that we just concoct up just to make money. Everything has to be done in such a way that it has to follow our company policy whereby safety is critical. We take that very, very seriously.
Absolutely. And also as you expanded internationally as well, as there are different, you know, guidelines for what sort of formulas, chemicals are allowed and not allowed based on each country. I mean, what was that process like of making sure that, you know, as you expanded, you were also able to abide by these rules and regulations?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a very good question. Every country has certain rules, but most of them follow a very strict guideline that certain items cannot be used. So we did a lot of research to check those substances that are banned or maybe questionable, we will not use. Of course, over the years, we have to evolve certain formulas to suit or maybe have to change certain ingredients inside, either to reduce them or maybe add other items that could be registered or could be could work the same without having any form of problems with regulatory authorities. In America, as you may know, it's one of the strictest countries in the world, but that's also because they are there to protect their own local manufacturers. So that's a different story altogether. But in most countries, so long as the claims that you make can be substantiated and you have proof that your products are safe to a certain degree, you can get them registered. Only thing is education. The education of the how the product is used and what ingredients are to be used is very, very important and also challenging at the same time. Yeah, so earlier days, we did a lot of products that are pretty much natural. We try to go as natural as possible because there's minimal risk to people.
Mm.
But like you said, you know, if you look at certain countries where they are very strict on this and they don't recognize, then we have to adopt different strategies to meet the regulations that are set in those countries.
Right. You sort of have to strike a happy middle, right? You also can't affect the effectiveness of your product. But at the same time, you know, there is, as you mentioned, a lot of, stigma and a lack of understanding, I suppose, on some of these ingredients and these chemicals as well. But at the same time, you have done several tests and gotten several certifications that prove beyond all reasonable doubt, right, that the product is effective.
Yes. Yeah. Right. We don't usually just engage just one form of test. We do multiple tests. People say, oh, you know, you just do a test on bacteria. Yeah, okay, bacteria. But we also do tests on virus, you know, because the way the nature of it is slightly different, you know. And then we are one of the very few companies that actually took the trouble to test our product against COVID-19. Mm-hmm. It cost us a lot of money. It took a lot of time. But we managed to test three items that are very popular against COVID-19 in America. Saying that, of course, the report itself helped us, you know, prove the product is effective against COVID-19, which is very critical at this point of time. Many big corporations took note of this and bought a lot of products from us for their own use. So it's a big investment for us to do all this testing, but I feel it's absolutely necessary because it's proof to people that, you know, the product do work as what we say it is.
Mm. All right. Well, time for a short break. I am Christine Wong and I'm speaking to Siak Ban Ian, the founder and CEO of Excelsior Technologies, who are behind the disinfectant brand BactaClean. You're listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Breathe freely, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today is Sia Ban Ian, founder and CEO of Excelsior Technologies, to discuss their disinfectant brand, BactaClean. Before the break, we talked about the inspiration behind starting it, the whole process of being able to expand internationally with these disinfectant products as well. You know, it sounds like you guys are a company that really value transparency as well about, you know, the effectiveness of your products, especially with all this testing. If people were to try to take a look at this proof, where could they find that?
Okay, most of them, if they are looking for, let's say most of the people who ask us for proof are usually corporates because they are buying in bulk and they're just buying a small amount. And of course, they're covering a lot of people within the corporation. So usually when they engage with any of our dealers, resellers or distributors, they all have a set of the test reports at their disposal. I mean, we don't publish it, you know, because we have a lot of competitors who do not have many tests. So there, and you know, now Photoshop is very powerful. People can Photoshop and copy, you know, and just pass it off as theirs. So what we do is we're very protective over this because we invested so much money into it. The dealers, resellers, or distributors, they do show it to the clients, but they do not give it them to keep. This is actually just to see that the proof is there. And all the test reports that we have, the numbers, the test report numbers are there. So if they want to query, they can actually email or contact the lab and verify that it's real. Because as it is, there are many competitors who came in from Korea with fictitious reports. So many people didn't know because we came across many, how do you say, shady operations, I would say, you know, but I wouldn't point out who, but I mean, there are many around. And, you know, if your test report doesn't have a report number, there's no traceability.
Got it.
Secondly, like, you know, the report's not signed off by a virologist. That means it's not real. So there are a lot of these funny things going around, but, you know, that's just the nature of this business. People want to make money to survive, so they'll do anything.
Now, I do want to take a little bit of a look at the bigger picture. Before the break, you mentioned that the Malaysian consumer market was not particularly hygiene conscious before the pandemic. Why do you think that is?
I think every Malaysian to some degree, you will agree with me that our public toilets could be a lot better.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that for one thing.
I mean, it's quite shameful. Because I travel so much and I've seen, you know, how even neighboring countries who are not as developed as Malaysia have better toilet hygiene than we do.
Right.
I'll give you an example in the Philippines. Philippines is not as developed as Malaysia, infrastructurally wise. But if you go to their shopping malls, restaurants, hotels and all that, the cleanliness is so much better than Malaysia. I mean, we could do a lot better than what we have right now.
Right.
I mean, the one of the most shocking ones is KLIA. Mm. When you land, as you're walking through the satellite building, the first thing you do is you smell the toilet before you even see it.
Mm. But why do you think that is? Why do you think that we were unable to be aware of, or at least we weren't unable to solve these issues before?
Selfish attitude of individuals, number one. Civic-mindedness, the lack of it, I would say. And people don't seem to care to maintain or take care of a particular item that they use that will be handed to the next person.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, like in Taiwan and in Japan, little kids who go to school, the first thing they do is they're taught how to clean the toilet, clean up to themselves.
Mm.
It's part of the school curriculum. I mean, before they even start to do math or English or language studies or anything like that, one of the key things they need to learn is how to clean up to themselves after they eat or clean the toilet and all that. Mm. But if you do that in Malaysian context, the parents will get angry at the school. They say, why am I paying school fees for my kid to learn how to clean the toilet? That's what the kakak does, you know? So the attitude is already wrong. The entitlement and the protectionism of the parents trying to protect the kids from having to do so-called menial or dirty jobs. But this is actually a very good lesson for people, for kids growing up. It's a sense of responsibility. So that's where we are sorely lacking.
Yeah. And I mean, in a sense as well, it's sort of about empathy as well. You don't want, you know, to use a service that is in that state. So why would you leave it in that state for someone else?
Yeah. Well, the irony is, if you go to Japan, you see Malaysian tourists who go there. They behave themselves and they follow how the Japanese do it.
Mm.
They will not leave the toilet in a nasty state, but they will do that in Malaysia.
Hmm.
Why?
So what do you think the effect of COVID-19 then has had on the Malaysian approach to hygiene and cleanliness?
Okay, right before COVID-19, toilet aside, okay, if you notice, people generally didn't really care much about hygiene or even cleanliness. You see that you go to a supermarket, nobody wipes down the handle of the trolley. They just take it. They go in, they buy whatever they want, and then they walk out. Littering. People don't even put the rubbish back or put it in a proper disposal bin. They just throw it on the floor.
Mm.
I mean, you get all kinds of stuff like that. And people just really don't care. They sneeze, they wipe their face, they touch everything, then they touch their face. So all along, people were not aware, or maybe they just didn't care. But with COVID-19, the fear of death, fear of getting the infection, and also the media, you know, drumming a lot of this hygiene kind of messages across. Many people now actually wake up and they realize, oh, I shouldn't be touching all kinds of contact surfaces and then touching my face. You know, so this has actually been a very, very good lesson for Malaysians overall. And I see that people are so conscious now. I mean, even if you go take away food or go buy things, people will use hand sanitizer and, you know, rub their hands, clean their hands. Or even when I see people use the supermarket trolley, they will wipe the trolleys.
Hmm.
So people have become very conscious and been afraid. So it has really, really helped, you know, and to accelerate the education process.
Hmm. I think it's interesting because, you know, earlier you mentioned that a lot of the previous, I guess, apathy seemed to be a lack of civic-mindedness, but now it's sort of being motivated essentially by fear, right?
Yes, yes.
So do you think that, you know, this sort of shift in consumer mindset, do you think it's going to continue post-pandemic, or do you think that the general sentiment will revert to being kind of lax or apathetic?
I think it should stay to some degree. Some people will slack off. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with this pandemic, it's likely to turn endemic, meaning it's going to go on. Reason being that, you know, people, we are creatures of bad habits. So to some degree, I would say maybe 10-20% of the people may go back to being themselves, but majority who have that level of fear, or maybe they become accustomed to it, making it a habitual kind of thing that they have to sanitize their hands or not touch all these contact surfaces, it will stay. Of course, I would say certain people who have encountered infections, they will be even more aware because they've gone through the pain of being infected. So, you know, they will also in turn teach their circle, influence people around them, their family, their children and all that, to be more conscious, you know, to be more hygienic and take hygiene more seriously.
Right. I see. Very interesting. And, you know, you mentioned as well earlier that for VitaClean specifically, education is really important. How are you continuing to educate the consumers about the importance of these sorts of products and the importance of, you know, cleanliness, hygiene, so on and so forth?
For us, we usually work together with our dealers and, of course, our corporate clients, because our corporate clients include like companies like Toyota, Mercedes-Benz, hotel chains, restaurants and all that. So they, in turn, will help promote and also educate their clients. Of course, they put notices and all that because that's also important that people are reminded constantly that, okay, look, you have to be aware that you should be cleaning your hands, you shouldn't be touching your face and all that, you know, that kind of thing. So it's actually a group effort, not just us, because there's only so much we can do. But of course, the people that we sell to and people we work with are equally as involved in this as we are.
All right. Well, finally, you know, you already have a global presence in over 52 countries. And as you mentioned, you had a 700% growth, right, over the course of the pandemic as well. What is next? What is in the pipeline for VitaClean past this?
We are looking to target children. We are looking to introduce a disinfectant specifically for children because schools are reopened in due time. And of course, we believe that getting it early is important. I mean, kids, if they're used to using a certain product, they will know that this is something that they will have to keep using until they're an adult. And also maybe they pass it on to their children to educate them again. So the cycle goes on. You have to educate people from young. For us, it's not just about selling products. It's important to getting the right message across and educating people the right way to use the right things for the right situations.
And of course, in terms of expansion as well, what are your plans and your goals for the end of the year?
We are targeting to hit probably another 3 to 4 countries by end of the year, if it's possible. We're already in discussion with several other distributors in Europe and in South America. We're hoping that things will ease out a little bit in terms of lockdown over here, so it's easier for us to do things. I mean, we are classified as essential services, so we are in operations right now. But however, ancillary services or supporting services are a little bit held back, you know, because many people, they're not allowed to operate. So they're not seen as supporting essential service. So it can be a little bit tricky.
I mean, obviously, the supply chain has been very strangely affected by what is essential, what isn't essential,
Know,
and the definitions of both, right? That's about all the time that we have for today's chat. So thank you very much, Ian, for speaking to me today all about VitaClean.
Thank you, Christine.
You've been listening to Open for Business with me, Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Xia Ban Ian, the founder and CEO of Excelsior Technologies, all about their disinfectant brand, VitaClean. If you've missed any of today's interview, you can go ahead and download our app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my, to listen back to the podcast. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.